Well, all right, it's great to have you back with us as we're continuing this series on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk to you about the purpose. What is the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to be looking at today. Just want to share again our core value here at River of Life concerning the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We value the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the lives of born-again believers for greater spiritual power from God to minister in Jesus' name, and also for a greater spiritual intimacy with God. So we value that. You know, Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, as we've been looking at this scripture and just studying on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just the person of the Holy Spirit, we've looked so far at a few things here. We've looked at the five encounters we have with the Holy Spirit, how he brings conviction to the lives of people. We looked at that. We looked at it is through the Holy Spirit that we are saved. That's how we're brought salvation comes to our life, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us when we give our hearts to Jesus. He indwells us. He matures us just to become more like Christ. And what we've been studying here in the last couple of weeks is empowering. He empowers us to live for God, but also to minister for the Lord, to be a witness for God. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is separate. We need to understand it's separate from salvation. Many people say it's the same, that when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is salvation. But the fact is that that is not really what the Bible teaches. It's not the same as salvation. If you look in the book of Acts chapter 11, you'll see a place where Peter refers to the point where he's recounting his experience at Cornelius' house, and he talks about how that they received the Holy Spirit just as we did. In other words, the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit just as the Jewish people did. And he said, and recounting that, of course, if you know the story in Acts chapter 10, at the end of the chapter there, it talks about how that when Peter was preaching, the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they began speaking in another language and tongues and prophesying. And they realized, the Jewish people who were there with Peter and his witnesses, the other Jewish believers that were with him at Cornelius' house, saw that they had received the Holy Spirit just as the Jewish people did. And Peter, in chapter 11, where he's recounting this event back to the church there, he says this reminded him exactly of what Jesus said, or what John actually said of Jesus, John the Baptist. He said, "I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit," referring to this episode or this place here where the Gentile believers were filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence was speaking in another language. So it is a separate experience from salvation. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 19, when Paul came to Ephesus and he saw some Ephesian believers there, and he asked them this question: "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" In other words, he already took it that they were believers. Now he was asking, had they received the Holy Spirit? Now he wasn't asking where they were saved. He was asking, had they received this experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we know that because if you read there in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, that after he found out exactly what it was they had believed, because he didn't know. He was just saying, believing that they were believers. But he found out more in detail what they had believed. Then they received Christ and they were baptized. And then they laid their hands upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. And they began again to speak in tongues and to prophesy. So this is an experience, you know, in God that is separate from salvation. And what I want to talk about today is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the primary empowering from God that New Testament believers can experience, and that's us. Jesus promised this experience before and after he was raised from the dead. It was so important that he gave this order to the first Christians in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So you see, according to the Bible, New Testament believers should follow the Lord's command and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit baptism is a first step in your development. New believers were even expected to experience the Spirit baptism. Early church held that baptism in water and the baptism in the Holy Spirit were essential primary steps in the life of a believer. You know, most people who feel they don't need the Spirit baptism don't really understand it. They may not recognize the overwhelming benefits that the Bible promises will flow from the Spirit baptism into their lives. And here's the question I want to ask you. Do you want more? Do you want more? What areas that are in your life are you most dissatisfied with in your walk with God? What areas do you long for more? Let me see if I can summarize them this way. Maybe this is it. Maybe there's not enough intimacy in your life. Maybe there's not enough spiritual power working through your life and witnessing with boldness and allowing the Spirit of God to flow through you that actual miracles can take place in the lives of other people. You know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it directly answers these great needs. So let's look at purpose number one, the external ministry that happens through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Greater spiritual power from God. You know, the primary purpose of the Spirit baptism is the Spirit's enabling power flowing through you to minister to other people. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." You see, it's not just something that happens to me, but it also happens through me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I like to put it this way, gets us from sitting to standing. You know, the first Pentecostal believers were sitting down when they received this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. But after enjoying a season of refreshing, Peter changed his posture. The Bible says in Acts 2:14, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. And he said, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say.'" So he went from sitting down to standing up. And you know, that's really what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. It causes us to go from sit-down receivers to stand up and speak out givers. You know, many have received this great gift without a clear understanding of their new responsibility. Every believer carries the personal responsibility to share his or her faith. And the Spirit baptism empowers us to fulfill Christ's great commission, which is found in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So praise God. It is an awesome gift, but there's also a great responsibility, and that responsibility of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to fulfill this great commission. Let me just give you some examples of function and the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, on the day when Peter and John were going to the temple, they were just going to the temple to pray. They did not have any other plans as far as what was going to do, or God had not revealed to them something that was about to happen. But on their way to pray, they were met by this man. I want to read it to you here. It's in Acts chapter 4. It says, "The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name do you do this?'" And so, again, after this miracle, let me just kind of interject here. After this miracle that had happened to this man was at the gate, beautiful. And let me just back up a little bit. He was at the gate. He was lame from birth. Peter and John are going into the temple. The man there asked them alms, asked for money. And Peter fixed his eyes on this man and he said, "Silver and gold, I don't have any of that. But what I do have, I give unto you." And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ," and he took him by the hand, and he said, "Rise up and walk." And he grabbed the man by the hand, lifted him up. And the Bible says as he was being, actually as he was being lifted up, his ankles strengthened and his legs were healed, and he began to walk and leap and praise God right there in the temple. And there's a great commotion to the point where the high priest and the religious leaders called Peter and John in on this. And this is kind of where we pick up in this scripture. And here's Peter's response to them after they had said, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Peter replied to them, he said this in verse 8. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." I love that. Filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit at that moment gave him the words to say. And see, that is the function and purpose of the Holy Spirit, is he will empower us to be a witness. It's not that we have to have all the words prepared, but at the moment, at any given time, when God needs us to speak on his behalf, he will fill us. Even Jesus told the disciples at one point not to worry about what they would say when they were brought before the synagogues and the rulers. He said, but at that moment, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And that's exactly what happened here. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" Oh, wow. Do you see the change in Peter's life? Before his experience being baptized in the Holy Spirit and before Jesus left this earth, Peter was denying Christ. Matter of fact, he denied him three times. But notice what he says here. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Look, guys, you're the ones who crucified him. And yes, it is by the name of Jesus that this man has been made whole." Praise God. So we see here the function and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to be that witness and to stand boldly for God. You know, in Acts chapter 4, 23 and 24, and also verse 31, I'm going to read these scriptures to you. It says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this," the Bible says, "they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." So again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit once again, and they begin to speak the word of God boldly. The function of the Holy Spirit. Another illustration, example of this, Philip, when he was in Samaria, Acts chapter 8 says, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Again, Philip preached the word, people were getting saved, and now, again, showing this, again, going back to this, it's a separate experience from salvation. They'd been saved, now they're sending Peter and John, and they went there, and the Bible says, verse 15 of chapter 8, "When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus." So yes, they had been saved, but the Spirit of God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. Then it says, "Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Praise God. They received the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Awesome. And then we know that's what happened there. We saw the Spirit of God. We see the Spirit of God come upon these people. They're filled with the Holy Spirit now. And where's the function? Well, I believe you can find it in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria," which is where this instance, this episode just took place, where we talked about Peter and John going there. It happened in Samaria where Philip preached, and then Peter and John came and prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Happened in Samaria. Then in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace." So there was a church established. There was a function. There was a purpose of this baptism. It goes on to say, it was strengthened. The church there in Samaria was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. We even see the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit. He relied on the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, 37 and 38 says this, "You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and power, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good." The function of the power of the Holy Spirit is that we will go around doing good and delivering people who are under the power of the devil, and have the power of God working through us, that people may be healed and delivered. Praise God. I made mention again of the church in Ephesus. Praise God, there in Acts chapter 19. We know, I mentioned a while ago, how when Paul went and he asked these guys, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And then he lays his hands on them and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know there was a church established in Ephesus. Matter of fact, Jesus even mentioned that church in the book of Revelation chapter 2. So the first purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be a witness, to let the power of God flow through us. Now the second purpose of the baptism is the benefit that we receive personally. It's something just for you. There's an internal blessing. And that internal blessing is a greater spiritual intimacy with God. It's a personal immersion in God. You know, God desires to immerse you in his Holy Spirit. He wants to saturate you. Haven't you been hungry for spiritual refreshing? Haven't you longed for greater intimacy with God? You know, this immersion in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is indicated in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus said it this way, "John baptized you in water, but soon you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." You see, Jesus was comparing something the disciples had previously experienced. Jesus did a parallel between John's water baptism with a baptism of immersion in the Holy Spirit. Even as John had prophesied, he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," Matthew 3:11. The Greek word for baptize means to be immersed, to be covered over, not slightly dampened. It means totally submerged. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 records the details. Acts chapter 2 says in verse 2 through 4, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." You see, the fire that fell from heaven, it separated to rest upon each individual. It wasn't a single flame for all to share, but a personal embrace from heaven for each individual, for each one of them that were in that room. Every person had an equally powerful, intimate encounter with the Holy Spirit. And you guess what? They weren't all apostles. So Scripture suggests that there were 120 people who were Spirit baptized on that morning. You'll see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and chapter 2, verse 1. But 90% of those people were not apostles. Yet God sent his flames of fire upon every one of them because he wanted a personal, intimate encounter with each believer. You see, the Spirit baptism brings many spiritual blessings in our lives. Many. Praise God. The Word of God becomes more alive, and an appetite for the Bible is much greater in our lives. Our prayer life is affected. It's refreshed, renewed, it's empowered. We feel closer to God and enjoy Him more than ever before. And there's a passion to be around other believers. The new Spirit-baptized believers in the book of Acts, what they did is this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Praise God. And you see, that's a purpose of the Holy Spirit. He gives you a greater hunger to be around Christians, to learn the Word of God, to be passionate about God. And He builds you up. Jude 20 says this, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit." So I believe there's a direct correlation between being baptized in the Holy Spirit and building you up. I don't know about you, friends, but every day I need to be built up in the precious Holy Spirit. by praying in the Holy Spirit, by praying in the language that only God can give, and He wants to give that language to you. So again, purpose number one, the primary purpose, is an external ministry. Greater spiritual power from God to be a witness for Jesus, to allow the Spirit of God to flow through you and minister to people's lives, giving you the very words to say. And the second purpose, it's an internal blessing, a greater spiritual intimacy with God. Now next time we're going to talk about how to receive this great gift from God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to listen to that message. But I want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to touch every person right now that's listening. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would help them to keep an open mind. Lord, just to study your word, just to look at what the book of Acts says. Lord, that this is an experience for every believer. We need this experience in you. We need this gift. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every one of us do, Lord God, as Christians, so that we can have that greater impact in this world on the lives of people who have not yet come to know Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that, God, you will fill people with your Spirit, that they will receive this wonderful gift, and they will experience, God, the power of God in their lives to be a witness, and, God, also the power, Lord God, and just the intimacy of growing closer to you in personal relationship. Lord, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you, friends. See you next time.